Federal Appeals Court has ruled that a law meant to safeguard children against internet pornography is riddled with problems that make it constitutionally infirm. A three-judge panel with the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on Thursday that the Child Online Protection Act restricted free speech by barring web page operators from posting information inappropriate for minors unless they limited the site to adults. The ruling upheld an injunction blocking the government from enforcing the law. The court said that in practice, the law made it too difficult for adults to view material protected by the First Amendment, including many non-pornographic items. The law, signed by President Clinton and endorsed by President Bush, has never been enforced. It is one of several relating to internet decency that courts have struck down. The American Civil Liberties Union, which initiated the legal challenge, praised Thursday's ruling. A tiny company called Zingtone on Thursday says it has developed technology to enable users to load digital songs onto their cell phones and, for the first time, use them as ringtones, but admits the software may hit a sour note with the embattled music industry. The software converts MP3 files onto wireless phones, which would take the current ringtone phenomenon one step beyond providing the robotic-sounding renditions of tunes currently playing on phones. Selling ringtones or musical jingles on cell phones is giving the music industry, entrenched in a prolonged sales slump, a boost as it struggles amid a booming black market of illegal online file swapping. And with the ringtone market expanding, many companies are now expanding into polyphonic ringtones, which consist of more than just one note, as well as preparing for the time when actual songs can be played on the cell phones. Some of the world's biggest music labels, like EMI Group, have already licensed master recordings to wireless operators across Europe and Asia, which are expected to roll out in services on new handsets, expected to be available to consumers this spring. But Zingtone, which employs 8 people in Los Angeles, Atlanta, and Amsterdam, said it has already gone live with its service that enables users to take an audio clip of a recording they own, load it through the conversion filter, and deliver it to their phone. Some recording executives said Zingtone's service, offered without any licensing from the labels, appeared to be encouraging yet another form of digital piracy. An influential internet standard-setting body has begun a close scrutiny of the mounting problem of email spam in an effort that could have broad-ranging implications for future email use and security. An official anti-spam research group has been convened under the auspices of the Internet Research Task Force, a loose organization affiliated with the Internet Engineering Task Force, the IETF, has traditionally been responsible for standardizing basic net technologies such as email, data transfer protocols, and internet addresses, among a host of other issues. The new group is an open research body without any policy-setting power, but its findings could ultimately change the way email is handled by internet service providers and networks. Once considered a nuisance, spam has grown to account for a large percentage of the mail volume on the internet, the group's website reads. The purpose of the research group is to understand the problem and collectively propose and evaluate solutions to the problem. The research group is a potentially influential voice in a mounting chorus calling for new approaches to an epidemic of spam. According to spam fighter Brightmail, unsolicited bulk mail volumes skyrocketed last year, now accounting for close to a third of all traffic on the internet, up from 8% of traffic in mid-2001. A newly discovered flaw in a critical piece of internet infrastructure software could put more than half the internet's email servers at risk, researchers say. The flaw exists in SendMail, a program that sorts and delivers most email. A single message sent at a flawed email server could allow an attacker to take control of the server, read its contents, and use it to organize a massive denial-of-service attack. But officials are hopeful that a month's work of secret effort to shore up defenses against the flaw, which included informing top federal officers and foreign governments, will minimize its impact. The flaw was actually found in late December, but not revealed until last week. That gave the Department of Homeland Security in the United States time to organize efforts that would protect against possible attacks, said Alan Paula, director of research at security firm The Sands Institute. Because there were so many different flavors of send mail, 20 software vendors had to develop a variety of patches for the flaw. The flaw principally impacts Unix and Linux systems, as well as a limited number of Windows servers that run send mail, but it doesn't affect desktop computers and won't require action by typical users. But estimates say between 50 and 75% of all the Internet's email is handled by the various versions of send mail, making the flaw particularly pervasive, even more than the flaws that led to the now famous Code Red and Slammer worms. So, Internet security systems, which discovered the flaw, shared it quietly with both sendmail developers and the Department of Homeland Security. The organization spent nearly 2 months developing fixes for the flaw, all the while keeping details of it a secret to prevent an attack against undefended machines. That included early warnings to foreign governments, federal chief information offices, and information sharing and analysis centers that coordinate security at U.S. infrastructure firms such as power companies and train services, Paula said. Howard Schmidt, vice chairman of the president's Critical Infrastructure Protection Board, said the Department of Homeland Security had made strides in organizing private sector efforts to fix large-scale internet software flaws, and providing early warnings to infrastructure firms and other key stakeholders, such as foreign governments, can play a critical part in fending off an attack, he said. An early test version of the next major release of Microsoft Windows has been leaked onto the net, offering a glimpse of the company's plans for the new software. The leaked version of the upcoming desktop operating system codenamed Longhorn hints of major changes under the operating system's hood as Microsoft radically improves file management and searching features in Windows and in NewCon, the codename for the next version of SQL Server due out later this year. In Longhorn, Microsoft plans to introduce a new file system with enhanced storage capabilities. Known as Windows Future Storage, or WinFS, the new means for storing, accessing, or indexing files will replace NTFS and FAT32, the predecessors used by Windows XP. The file system is intended to make it more easy to find information, no matter where it is stored or in what form. Microsoft didn't identify the source of the leak, which is still circulating on the web and on Internet Relay Chat, but Jim Callinan, Microsoft Windows lead product manager, said the leaked version of Longhorn is authentic. Callinan declined to discuss features of the new operating system, saying that it's just too early to discuss features that could change dramatically before the final product is done. For Microsoft, creating a new file system, particularly one using modern database technology, is no easy undertaking. The work in progress will be important in prepping Longhorn for its scheduled late 2004 release, say analysts. And that's News Briefs for this week.